Well, welcome to the beginning of 40 days. We're glad you're here. And I want to start by a little update on Pastor Drew. Some of you are new to us, and Pastor Drew is our lead pastor who, at the end of January, underwent double bypass surgery, a 40-year-old with bad genes. And he is recovering well. Just as an update, he is healing physically and emotionally, which are both important. And those of you that have known someone that have gone through a heart surgery, you know how there's an emotional component as well. He was released to begin driving, so consider yourself warned. He needs, if you want to pray for something specific, he's building up stamina. And that's part of the deal after being down. It takes a while to get up to full strength. We're very grateful for his progress and hopeful and looking forward to his return in a few weeks. That's good. But then on the other hand, the church, which is us, we've been executing the plan that he put into place before he went into surgery for us. And on weekends, that has meant like 3 weeks ago, or excuse me, 4 weeks ago, Pastor Mitch had a great message to wrap up the January series. 3 weeks ago, we had a guest speaker, Carlos Whitaker, who was great. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jay Parsons, our family pastor, spoke here at Lone Mountain. And our site pastors, Pastor Dave and Pastor Chad, spoke at their places. Then last weekend, we had this guy named Steve Carter, and he did a great job, but I do need to correct something. He confessed in his message that he was a Michigan fan, and that was honest of him, very brave, I thought. But then he went on to say he trash-talked at Ohio State University, and that is, of course, a doctrinal error, and I need to correct that. But I forgive him because the rest of his message was awesome. He did a great job. And so what's been going on as a church is we have just been moving forward even without Pastor Drew being here. And this weekend, here we are kicking off this very major, important series on prayer. And you can kind of sense the momentum of our church as we're embracing this and moving forward together. And for those of you who have one of these things, one of these prayer journal books kind of thing, page 11 is where you have a chance to write down your sermon notes from this weekend. You can use your message notes here as a way of copying stuff over if you wish to, but this is, today's day one, and so go ahead and pull them out, and those of you who have the books, and if not, you can pick them up afterwards as we get going on 40 days together. A recent search in Amazon.com revealed 136,000 books on the topic of prayer. A recent Google search produced 136 million web pages about prayer in some way. I mean, prayer is a big topic. Anyway, you cut it. And one of my things I've always felt is that everybody prays. Everyone prays. I mean, in the major world religions, that's kind of a given. Buddhists pray, and Hindus pray, and Muslims pray, and Jews pray, and Christians pray. But I believe it's well beyond just the religious prayers, that it's in our culture in a lot of ways. I mean, if you've ever texted or posted on social media, OMG, technically that's a prayer. 26 years ago, when we moved to town to help plant this church, and we were telling our friends in the Midwest, we're moving to Vegas, and they go, why would you go to Vegas to plant a church? Nobody there goes to church. Sin City. And it's kind of like saying nobody in Vegas prays. But I beg to differ. All you have to do is walk through the floor of a casino and there's a lot of prayer going on. Could be the most spiritual city in the nation. There you go. Everybody prays. That's my point. Athletes pray. I mean, the last second pass in a football game, where it takes a miracle and act of God, has been called a Hail Mary. I mean, everybody knows what a Hail Mary is. It's that desperate pass. In basketball, when there's a last second heave, they're throwing up a prayer. Throwing up a prayer, that's a shot in a basketball game, but it has the title of prayer. Even atheists pray. I mean, if they're shocked or hurt or scared and they can't filter their response, they'll say, oh God. They don't say, oh, me. You'll get that on the way home. In times of crisis, people pray. Always have. military or metro, if they're in a firefight. Keep me safe, God, and I'll become a priest. Spare me, and I'll go to church every week. We pray. Before surgery, we pray. Waiting for the test results, we pray. Why? Ecclesiastes 3:11, Old Testament literature, Old Testament wisdom from Solomon. And just a simple phrase in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has planted eternity in the human heart. God has planted eternity in the human heart. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What happens after I die? My beginning and my end. And when we come to the end of ourselves, we're asking for help from someone. So we pray. When I was a kid, I was taught prayers. You memorized them. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. It's a common prayer, right? How about this one? Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray to God my soul to take. Now, I grew up in a pastor's home, and so we got to the point where we would tell bad pastor jokes, and this is one of them. Now I lay me down to sleep. I park my car just down the street. If it starts to roll before I wake, I pray the Lord to step on the brake. Bad joke. Every once in a while, because I'm a pastor, I guess, or just a Christ follower, when I go to a major motion picture and they choose to have a prayer in the script, whether it's a comedy or whether it's something serious, I always notice how they choose to pray or how to make the prayer. And I remember way back when Sister Act came out. And for those of you who have never seen it, Whoopi Goldberg is the main character. And she is a nightclub singer named Dolores who has to go in the witness protection program. And so they choose to hide her in a nunnery or whatever they're called, convent, I guess, because she needs to be hid. So she becomes Sister Mary Clarence. And on the first night in the convent, the head lady, head nun, whatever, Mother Superior. Okay, thank you. She calls on Sister Mary to have the blessing for the food. And so you could tell Sister Mary had been going to Catholic school when she was a little girl, and she hadn't prayed in decades. So this is her prayer. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we are about to receive. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I will fear no hunger. We want you to give us this day our daily bread, and to the republic for which it stands. And by the power invested in me, I pronounce us ready to eat. Amen. That's a great prayer. I'll never forget it. But every once in a while, Hollywood gets it right. And they say a prayer that is exactly right. And one of those instances is a classic, I mean a really old movie, that our family watches every Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life. And George Bailey, the main character, Jimmy Stewart, when he's challenged, this is his prayer. God, God, dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God. That's a prayer. It's honest. It's real. I had a professor in seminary who said, God's address is at the end of our rope. When we're at the end of ourselves and we have eternity in our hearts, is there anyone out there that can help? Are you there, God? Show me the way. I believe everybody prays. I really do mean that, but we may not be praying well. We may not be praying often. We may have roadblocks of prayer, and we may have stopped praying. And it seems like the idea of being able to pray well has been a desire of the heart of people for centuries. In Luke 11:1, the disciples of Jesus, here's a snapshot. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. You think the disciples knew how to pray? Sure, they've been praying their whole life, but they watch Jesus and they're going, whoa, teach us to pray like you pray. This series on 40 days of prayer is going to be helpful for all of us. Some of you have been praying your whole lives, And there's really nothing new here, but I pray that there can be a fresh wind in your prayer life, something to renew or refresh or return to, something that worked well that you've gotten away from, that it can be a breakthrough for you in that way. Others of you, a new perspective, a new insight, a new way of approaching God. For some of you, it's going to be your beginning, that you really, really haven't had a prayer life, and this is going to launch you. I believe for all of us, it's an opportunity for a breakthrough. What do we mean? Well, all of us have a burden, a challenge, a wound, a limit, a barrier, something where we need God's help. We need Him, and we need a breakthrough. And that can happen in this 40 days. If we reflect back, I mean, I say everybody prays, but then I also have to say something, not everybody prays because people have stopped praying. Some people have stopped praying, and I tried it, but it didn't work. I asked, but I got a no. And there's a reason why I don't pray anymore, and maybe it's because I got some misinformation about prayer, and I got discouraged or disillusioned. Maybe some false information, maybe some lies, some teachings about prayer that were just plain not true. Some legends I've heard, some myths about it, and then I feel guilty because I haven't prayed enough, and I feel guilty because of who I am, and I don't want to approach God. I mean, why would He listen to me? There's a variety of misinformation and junk that can be obstacles between ourself and God. So we want to attack them, we want to go after it, and we want to make a way. Why do we have barriers between ourselves and God? Well, our frustrations with prayer are caused by misconceptions. Our frustrations with prayer may be because we really don't understand prayer clearly. And we come with some of these expectations that are misconceptions, like prayer's a magic wand. Well, prayer isn't a magic wand. What do you mean? If I wave the magic wand, dear God, give me, ta-da, your wish is my command. Is that how we think God listens to us? And what we really are setting God up for is, God, you are here to serve me. You are my servant. And when I say what I want, you got to give it to me. And when we say it that clearly, we realize we have really flipped the script. Because God made us on purpose, for a purpose, and we are His servant. He's not our servant. God loves to say yes. He really does, but it's not the three wishes when you rub the genie lamp. It's a misconception. Prayer is not a magic wand. Prayer is not a fire extinguisher. What do we mean by that one? Well, break glass in case of emergency. So prayer is the last choice. It's the last place I go. When I have nowhere else to go, I'll go to Him. And sometimes we do it because of our maturity. I'll handle it myself. I'll handle it myself. God, you help the really messed up people. And I'm not going to come to you until I'm really messed up and I can't do it. That's not what God wants. Or we feel because of who we are and what we've done and we're far from God and I don't want to bother God with this. What if prayer wasn't our last choice, but it was our first choice? See, prayer's not a fire extinguisher. How about this one? Prayer's not a tug of war. Prayer's not a tug of war. In other words, we got this thing going on. Please, will you give me? I don't know. And it's like we got to wear him down and keep pulling until finally he gives in, until we win. It's the 93rd time that we ask. Please, 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 please. Finally, okay, I got him. Or we bargain him to death. Like, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you do this, then I'll do this and this. And we try to wear him down as some kind of a tug of war. It's not that. Prayer is not a ritual to relieve guilt. What do you mean? Many of you were raised in a tradition of church that when you did something sinful, the way that you got forgiven was by praying a lot. More, say so many prayers be as a punishment for your sin. It really wasn't meant to be a punishment, but that's how it felt. And so prayer, a misconception is prayer is not a penalty, prayer is a privilege. So our misconceptions get in the way of our prayer life with God, and we want to say it's not a magic wand and not a fire extinguisher, not a tug of war, not a ritual to forgive guilt. And if it's not those things or other misconceptions we bring to this topic, what is prayer? And that's why we're launching into the 40 days. 40 days of engaging prayer, looking at it from different angles, getting different perspectives, different practices, different emphasis, different illustrations, different applications, different scriptures. So at the end of this 40 days, our prayer life is healthier. And this weekend, we start at the beginning. And that's why the topic is called A Beginner's Guide. We're going to talk at four foundational truths of prayer to help us be reminded or refreshed or see clearly for the first time what prayer is all about. This is simple, but it's deep. Number one, God loves me to talk to Him. God loves for me to talk to Him. Why? Why would the God of the universe want me to talk to Him? Because He loves you. And He loves listening to whatever you're interested in. That's mind-blowing if you really embrace it. The God of the universe made you and wants you to talk to Him, and He's interested in what you have to say. Well, just to reinforce that, why would God be interested in what I have to say? Well, first of all, where did my interests come from? And there's a package of interests I have that came from Him. That God gave me talents and gifts and abilities. And I have been given these to develop and use and steward. And so I have interest in the talents, gifts, and abilities that He gave me. So why wouldn't He be interested in what He gave me? And He's given us all different talents, gifts, and abilities to get all the various things done that need to get done in the world. And so that's how God rolls. And if He gave me this, He's interested because He gave me the interest. And then we understand it if we understand Him being our dad, our parent, our father. He just enjoys talking to His kids, so He wants us to talk to Him. Psalm 103:13 says, "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence Him." As I've become a parent and experienced that title for a number of years now, I get it. I love my kids because they're my kids. Period. No conditions, no strings attached. They're my kids. And when they were little, before they could talk, I couldn't wait for them to grow up so they could have a conversation with me. And even when the conversation was simple and about interests that I may not be that interested in, I was fascinated by their growth and their development and what was interesting to them. And then they became elementary kids, and the way they started to become young adults and thinking, and then they became teenagers. And then you'd wish you didn't develop them into conversational people. That's a joke. Because even listening to a teenager talk is fascinating as they start thinking through things conceptually. Prayer is like learning a new language, like Spanish or French or Portuguese. And the more you pray, the more conversation you have, the understanding becomes easier and more relaxed and natural. And then you realize that there are sometimes you talk about heavy stuff and sometimes you talk about trivial stuff. And the honesty about prayer with God is you can talk to Him about anything because He's interested in what you're interested in. So say, you want the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. I mean, how trivial is that? But God is interested in you. And I don't really share that desire to talk about the Patriots winning the Super Bowl because when they played this year, it wasn't a very super Super Bowl. I mean, did you guys notice that? And if you really want to know the truth, God's a Dallas Cowboy fan. He really is. And the reason I say that is for years of trash-talking to Cowboy fans. So I'm just confessing, actually, that's not true. He's not a Cowboy fan either. But I just wanted to say that to get out of jail. But the reason I'm belaboring the point on does God care about that kind of sports outcome? He cares about you. And if you care, He cares about your interest. Even if it isn't deeply profound and earth-changing, you can talk to Him about anything. And He's interested in what you're talking about. A 3-year-old has a conversation with you. A 7-year-old has a conversation with you. An 11-year-old has a conversation with you, and their worldview starts to change. What they're interested in starts to change. And the parent is sitting there going, that's a fun conversation, that's a fun conversation, that's a fun conversation. Because I'm interested in you at that stage. When a kid draws a picture when they're 3 or when they're 7 or when they're 11, guess what? The artwork changes, but the parent still puts the artwork on the fridge. I'm interested in you at that stage. Wherever you are in your relationship with God, wherever you are as a human, the God of the universe is interested in you because you're his kid. Here's a verse, 1 John 5:14, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Things that please him. That's pretty cool. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. I hope you're catching this. It's a conversation, not a ceremony. I remember way back when I first heard that conversation is the lifeblood of any relationship, meaning if there's no conversation, there's no blood in the organism, so the organism dies. So when there's no conversation in a relationship, the relationship dies. And that's true friend to friend, that's true husband to wife, parent to child. A healthy conversation means the right amount, the right quality, if it's authentic and honest and safe. And an unhealthy conversation is when it's not enough and when it's fake and it's full of untruths and it's not safe and abusive. You see, conversation is the lifeblood of a relationship. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony that you just say ceremonially the right ways. Prayer's talking. Talk, listen, talk, listen. Prayer's a relationship and not a ritual. It's another way of saying that. Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. Religion is what do? You do it religiously. I have to pray because it's something I do. Christianity is a relationship where I want to versus I have to. I get to pray versus I have to pray. Are you catching this? Listen to the relationship that God had with his nation Israel, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Relationship. And as we choose to be chosen and be God's chosen people as Christ followers, guess what? We're in a relationship. God loves for me to talk to him. Foundational truth number one. How about this? Foundational truth number two. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. He listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. I can impress you, and others have been impressive in how they pray publicly. Oh, thou great potentate of the universe, thou who dost wonderfully bless us with lavish and untold blessings, thou who art all powerful, all wise, and all generous, please hear my humble request. Isn't that impressive? But does your 16-year-old daughter come into her mother and say this? Oh, mother above all mothers, the one is that is deserving of every awesome Mother's Day card ever conceived, the one who has nurtured me from a child to teenagehood, the one that has taught me all wisdom and given me every warning from the mother's book of all warnings, may I please borrow the car? Nobody talks like that. At least if they do, you need therapy, I guess. God hears prayers that are sincere and simple. Sincere and simple. He says this in the Sermon on the Mount to a Jewish culture that knew how to pray. Jesus said it this way, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. You know, I love listening to brand new Christians pray. And what I mean, Christians that were raised in a home where they weren't taught to pray out loud. Those, I believe it's great for Christian parents to teach your kids how to pray. And I was fortunate enough to be taught that as a kid. But like my wife, when many of you know her story, we met when we were 18 and she wasn't a committed Christian. She had some Christianity in her distant past, but said some memorized prayer, but never really prayed from her heart. And so when she became a committed Christian, she was faced with the opportunity to pray out loud, and it was intimidating to her. And goes, how do I do that? And I said, well, just talk to God. And she believed me. So that's what she did. And it was like God was right there in the room, like he was a real person. And she was honest and a little clumsy and not so polished, but it humbled me. I'll never forget it, about how real her prayer was, instead of sounding like something that was produced that I had grown up with. It's the same story with many of you here, that your prayers, as you've started to pray to God, are now honest and raw and not polished. They're simple and sincere. God, today was a good day. I don't stop and tell you often enough how much I love my life. God, thank you. I don't deserve all the good things that you've given me. God, life is hard right now. God, I don't get it. Why is this happening to me now? God, I don't like you right now. God, I'm tired and frustrated and discouraged. If we pray those simple, sincere prayers to God, how do you think he listens to us? Have you ever had a friend share a burden, a weakness, or a confession, and they take off their mask and say, this is how it really is, and at the end of it, how do you feel toward your friend? I always say, thank you for being honest with me, that you honored me with the truth, and I feel closer to you as a result. The God of the universe doesn't smite us with our honesty. He thanks us for being real. You see, God loves for me to talk to him. And God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. Here's the third truth. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're told to ask. We're very grateful to Pastor Rick Warren at Saddleback Church in California for this 40 days of prayer format. I mean, we've done the 40 days of purpose in the past and the Transform series, and they've been very helpful. But this 40 days of prayer, we're using as resources, reshaping it to be our own voice. Pastor Drew recorded the teaching tapes that are going to be in every small group. And so it's awesome, but this is his name on the book. And so in one of his resources that I looked at for this message, he had a kind of an interesting list. And what he was talking about is when God says no. God loves to say yes, and we're saying it's good that we ask and that God answers our prayer. But as soon as we start asking, sometimes the answer is going to be no. And we think, well, that's understandable. If everything our kids ask of their parents was a yes, there would be chaos. And so we as parents, because we love our kids, we learn how to say no for all the right reasons. Does God ever say no to us? Yeah, he says no for our protection, to save us from something. God says no for our correction, to teach us a lesson. He says no for our direction, to guide us to something better. He says no for our protection. Our perfection, which is to sharpen us. And he says no for our inspection, meaning we may need to examine our motives more closely for what we're asking for. He says no for our protection, our correction, our direction, our perfection, our inspection. That's a good list. I think it's helpful. We've said around here for a number of years that whenever we pray, God always answers in one of four ways. He either says no, and sometimes, no, you got to be kidding me. Or he says slow. It's coming, you just need to be patient. Grow, get ready for it. And if I gave it to you now, you're not quite ready for it, it would crush you. Or go. I'm glad you asked for that finally. Yes. No, slow, grow, go. You see, God is a good dad, a good father, and he gives us what is right when we ask. Matthew 7:11 says this, if you being imperfect and sinful parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? James 4:2, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And my prayer is as we get launched in this 40 days that you're starting to think, maybe I can ask. So don't be afraid to ask, but be ready to trust his answer. Ask, but trust his answer. No, slow, grow, go. You see, God loves for me to talk to him. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. And God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. The fourth principle this weekend is God longs to be close to me. God longs to be close to me. What's that have to do with prayer? If I feel distant, am I going to talk to him? Isaiah 30:18 says, the Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. The Lord waits for you to come to him. If you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? It wasn't him. It was us. And that verse may seem so simple, but it is so profound. And I just want to, do you know that God longs to be close to you? Do you believe that? Some parents sadly become very aware of the pain when a child refuses to talk to the parent, when there's an estrangement. When I have a prodigal and they don't want to talk to me. The God of the universe is our dad. What happens when we choose not to talk to him? See, God longs for us to be close to him. Hosea 6:6 says it like this, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. And sometimes we say, I got to do the religious stuff and the sacrifices and the offerings and all the doing. And God goes, no, 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 that's nice, but I want you. I want our relationship. And if we're sitting back here in our prayer life saying, I'm not praying because I'm not ready to talk to him yet. I'm not ready to talk to him yet because I'm not enough. And I've been doing bad stuff, so I'm not ready to talk to him yet. Or I've not done enough good stuff to qualify, so I'm not ready to talk to him yet. And we're withdrawing because of our junk versus understanding that he is just waiting for the conversation. And one of my favorite Bible stories that I've worn out at this church over the years is the story of the prodigal son. And Jesus told that parable, and the prodigal son had everything, left, took his inheritance, blew the money in wild living, ended up, only job he could get is feeding pigs. The opposite of the values of dad, the son violated and hurt and ran away from. Came to his senses, said, I can come home and be a servant, not a son. So he came home, and when his father saw him, the father ran and embraced him. And at this point, the son had nothing, and he smelled like a pig. That was it. He wasn't cleaned up. He wasn't earning the affection of his dad. He didn't have anything to offer to say, I'm sorry. He came totally broken and undone, smelling like a pig. And the father in the story runs to him and embraces him, just as he was. Come as you are. And that's the heart of God. We don't come to him once we're ready to talk to him. We don't come to him once we've cleaned ourselves up and earned an audience. We come to him broken, just as we are. And he goes, oh. James 4:8, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. 40 days of prayer. We're talking about some elementary ideas, but they're deeply profound. And all of us needed to hear them again. What's coming your way to help you in this 40 days of prayer? First of all, this book gives you 40 days of scripture with questions and a place to write in prayers and thoughts. A 40-day journal. Today is day one. I filled mine out already. I'm ahead of you. But you can go home and do it. Tomorrow's day two, 40 days. And at the end of 40 days, you'll have a journal of your journey. And it'll be very meaningful. So get started. Scripture questions, a place to write. The other thing that's in this book is if you're in a group where I'm in a life group, so we're going to listen to a teaching this week, there's questions and fill in the blanks for that also in this book. So you'll have a record of that at the end of this journey. So your everyday thoughts, your life group comments. Next weekend, you'll have a place in the sermon notes area to write down thoughts from every weekend message. And next weekend, we're privileged to have Gene Apple here. And Gene Apple was a pastor at Central Christian Church that founded us 26 years ago. He's now a pastor down in Anaheim, California. He's a great teacher. He's a great man. And we're privileged. He's going to come back and teach. And that's next weekend. You don't want to miss me. Invite your friends. And then the week after that, Mike Bro is going to be here, who is the founder of our church and an amazing communicator. He'll be here March 9th and 10th. On March 6th, that Wednesday, between those two weekends, is Ash Wednesday when we do the night of worship, which is a can't-miss night. I'll be back in 3 weeks to pick up the ball and keep running. And this series has got momentum, it's got force, it's got opportunity, it's got quality. You do not want to miss a weekend. And as we get started now, as we start with day one, and we're talking about the foundational truths of prayer, which one of these four that we've talked about do you need to embrace as we walk out of here today? God loves for me to talk to Him. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God likes to show His grace by answering prayer. And God longs to be close to me. Those are good things. Let's embrace them all. Let's stand together to pray. God, I thank You for the privilege we get to pray, that You even know our name, and for us to embrace that You know our name and You know our burdens and You know our interests is really life-changing if we embrace that. God, I pray that we will understand that Your grace of the cross covers us so that we can come to You just as we are. And that we'll just start talking to You because You've invited us to the table. God, I pray for everyone to say yes to that invitation. And that as we pray and as we journal and as we attend services and as we worship, as we share our burdens with others in a group that will pray for our breakthroughs, God, I pray that 40 days from now will be so different than today, that our relationship with You will get healthy and strong and vibrant and real and miraculous. God, we thank You for the hope of this teaching today, and may it become true for every one of us. And so as we leave here today with a prayer in our hearts, we ask for Your grace to cover us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer down front or in the lobby. You can go to Guest Central. And you can go buy a book, and we'll see you here next weekend.